factors that are involved in the new birth. The factors that are involved in the new birth. For each man or woman here today, and the truth, of course, applies even to people who might not be here. For each person here, we were all born. That's a fact. It's a biological fact. And what is known is that independent life begins at birth. That is a known fact. Everything that we are today is dependent on us being born. While the mother may carry the child within herself, it's not until after birth that the reality of the new life takes on real meaning. Independent physical life is dependent on birth, being born. What did I say? Independent physical life is dependent on birth or being born. But get this too. So is spiritual life. Spiritual life, where the Almighty God is now working with you spiritually. You are now a child of God spiritually. That begins with spiritual birth. That's right. Let us hear the book of St. John chapter 3. The statement made by, or the truth stated by Jesus Christ in this passage. Let us hear chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 7. Let us hear it.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Truly, truly, I say unto thee.
Except a man be born again.
Except a man be born again.
He cannot see the kingdom of God.
He cannot see the kingdom. What verse you start?
Verse 3.
Okay, continue. He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old?
That's right. I would have asked the same question. Because you see, Jesus Christ was on a different wavelength than Nicodemus. What Jesus Christ was describing here or speaking about here is spiritual birth. What Nicodemus had in mind was biological, physical birth. So the question Nicodemus asked, I would have asked the same question. How can a man born when he's old or when he's grown up? What verse are you?
Verse 4. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
That's right.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily,
truly, truly,
I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit.
Wait, wait. You notice the emphatic statement here. And this is, you see, it's easy for us to overlook it because we read the Bible ever so often and we have heard this and we come upon this. And a lot of times we miss the impact. When Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily," this is usually said for emphasis. Truly, truly, that is, look here, man, listen to what me I say. That's the idea here. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be
born of water,
of water,
and of the Spirit,
and of the Spirit,
he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That's right. I'll be commenting on the fact that Jesus Christ was not speaking here of two birth, one of water and one of the Spirit. I'll make a little comment on this as we press on in the lesson. The statement by Jesus Christ that one must be born of the water and of the Spirit is no accident or by chance statement. Man's redemption and salvation was in the making before God created man. Man's salvation and God's plan to save us, the way we will be saved, that was in the making, not only before we were created, before our forefather Abraham was created, but before the world was created. Let us hear 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20.
For as much as ye know that ye are not deemed with corruptible things, mm-hmm. as silver and gold, mm-hmm. from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, mm-hmm. as of a lamb without blemish, mm-hmm. and without spot, mm-hmm. who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
Foreordained, prefix. It was fixed ahead of time, not after the world was created, but before the world was created. What verse you start?
Verse 20.
Okay. Since you read verse 20, you may stop there. You read it already?
But was manifest in these last times for you.
That Jesus Christ was physically born 2,000 plus years ago doesn't mean that Christ's life began there. Jesus Christ had a pre-existence life. He lived. He was from eternity, beyond time. But he was now manifested over 2,000 years ago to deal with our salvation. You know, one of when we sung one of the song, "Man of Sorrow, what a name for the Son of God who came." But one of the verse there that grabbed my attention, when it says, "Ruin sinner to reclaim," you get it. We are ruined. Sin ruin us. Let us not wait until death and eternity to realize. And let us not be disobedient to realize that sin does ruin us. And it is we, the ruined sinners, that brought Jesus Christ to take on flesh and blood and to die for us. But he existed before, ruined sinner to reclaim. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came, died, buried, and resurrected for our salvation. And God's plan of salvation, as I said, was in the making, planned out by God. Every detail. May I? When Jesus Christ, in the passage read in the book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 3 through verse 7, spoke there, of course, Nicodemus was interpreting things from the point of view of the Old Testament law. And naturally, what Jesus Christ said to him sounded far-fetched and strange. But may I? Becoming a Christian is such a radical change for us. As far as God is concerned, that becoming a Christian is likened to another or a second birth. Becoming a Christian. Jesus Christ treated like you are going to be born another time. That's why it talks about you must be born again. And notice the imperative is used. You must. It's not left up to us to have an option. Notice verse 3.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Stop there. In verse 3, Jesus Christ is emphasizing the absolute necessity of this new birth. Very important that we get that. But if you're here today, you're not a child of God, never let Satan tempt you. Or let any false preacher, teacher deceive you in making you feel that, yes, there's a way you can be saved without being baptized. Because baptism is essentially a part of that born again. So don't let anybody, because this is what being emphasized in verse 3, that this new birth is absolutely necessary. There is no way over it. There is no way around it. There is no way under it. No man or angel can help you or me escape the fact that we must be born again. And born of the water is referring to baptism. I'll be dealing with both born of the water and of the Spirit. And the fact that one is retrospective and one is prospective. We'll be looking on those two realities in being born again, the water and the Spirit. verse 5 of the passage, Jesus Christ is explaining or describing. Remember, I said verse 3 of St. John chapter 3 is emphasizing the absolute necessity that there's no way to escape baptism. But verse 5, Christ is explaining it, describing it. It's not only a divine fact that one cannot enter the kingdom of God without the new birth. But Jesus Christ said, you can't even see it. Read it's there.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Read, there's somebody in one of the verses he talk about you cannot see.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
It's there, brother. You cannot see. Between verse 3 and verse 7, will I have to lend you all my Bible? Verse 3. You cannot see. It's not only enter the kingdom, you know. Jesus Christ is showing that this born again, you can't even get a good glimpse of the kingdom if you're not born again. And all this is to emphasize the absolute necessity of being born again. Again, I repeat, if you're in among us as our honored guest, take interest, because this would definitely apply to you. And if you are a child of God, take interest so that you understand the subject better, so that you can teach. There is no way any man, any church, or even an angel can help you or me find ways to escape being born of the water and of the Spirit. No preacher, no church, no angel can come up with a plan to justify and to make acceptable in the sight of God you being saved without being baptized. Cannot. In God's plan for saving man, wait, what did I say? I said in God's plan for saving man. That's right, that's what I said. In God's plan for saving man, there is the part that man does, and there is the part that God does. Brother Mitchell explained that just briefly. In your salvation, in you or any man or woman becoming a Christian, there is a part that the Almighty God set for you to do. There is also a part that only God can do that part. Are we all there? The fact is, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 16, let us hear that passage. Acts 22, 16.
And now, why tarriest thou?
That's a prospective convert. Wait, this is a man who had been taught or who needed a little more teaching. Watch it. You watching? He was there in a little corner on the ground, a prey. Have you ever thought that there are situations that praying is not what the moment called for? That's right. Here is a situation. What the passage the brother is reading, this prospective convert. Brother Mitchell, who is a prospective convert? Is a man who is planning to, or want to, or is about to give his or her life to Christ, but he's not yet a convert. But watch here. He recognized that there is a God and that he had a responsibility to God. Wait. He thought that praying was what he needed to do. No, not at this time. So when the preacher that was sent to convert him met him, what he said, brother?
And now. Why tarriest thou?
You see, in his tarrying, in his waiting, he was praying. Listen, the preacher.
Arise.
Get up.
And be baptized. And wash away thy sins.
That is, get thyself baptized. That's what that statement means. Arise and be baptized. You get yourself baptized. You see, that is what the sinner must see too. Once you are convinced that you need Jesus Christ and he requires baptism, wherever you need to find the right person to baptize you, it's your responsibility to find him. That's right. Get up and get baptized. You get yourself baptized. That's what it means. That's man's side. That's what the prospective convert does. He gets himself baptized. This is being born of the water. Are we all there? Man is responsible for this element or this factor in the new birth. Then we are told that in the book of same St. John chapter 3, you read it, that he must be born not only of the water, he must be born of what? The Spirit. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, it seems you forget the chart and the board. No, sir, I never forget my chart. We're coming to the chart. Sometime in this lesson, this week or next week. That's right. That's right. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, being born of the Spirit is referring to being given the Holy Spirit as a gift. Very important that we get this. This was promise. We have this promise made in the book of passage like Acts of the Apostle, chapter 3. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 38. Repent. And get baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise of the Holy Spirit to the obedient, to those who are obedient to Jesus Christ. They were told to repent, get baptized, and they will receive the Holy Ghost as a gift. Not only that, In the same book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5 and verse 32, that promise is also emphasized again. Let us hear that passage.
And we are his witnesses.
Peter preaching says, we, the apostles, are witnesses
of these things.
Of the things that we preach about Jesus Christ.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit is also a witness.
Whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Watch here. The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them
that obey him.
That obey him. You hear that? The Holy Ghost is given to those who obey God. That's a promise. God cannot go back on his word. So, being born of the Spirit is referring to the Holy Spirit being given to us as a gift when we become Christian. Are we all there? Being born of the water and of the Spirit, as I've said, is not two birth or two baptism. It's one spiritual birth involving both reality or two realities. One baptism, one spiritual birth that involves water, that man is responsible for seeing to, and involves the Holy Spirit, that is God's part. Remember, I pointed out that in becoming Christian, you have the part that God gives man to do. He must get himself baptized. He must find the water, etc. But the Holy Spirit is God's business. He's the one who deals with that aspect of our salvation. Watch here. When the Bible speaks about being born of the water and of the Spirit, being born of the water is retrospective. Being born, you have the new birth. The new birth, it involves the water and it involves the Holy Spirit. But this one, the water, is what I refer to as retrospective. Do I have your attention? Getting baptized, it looks backward. What do I mean? Baptism deals with all our past. Our past sins. That's what baptism addresses. That's right. All the sins you and I commit before we became a Christian, all the prayer you pray and the fasting you did, they were never addressed until after you were baptized or in baptism. And that is what we mean when we say it is retrospective. It looks backward. But then the Holy Spirit is prospective. Prospective. The Holy Spirit looks forward. What do we mean? The Holy Spirit is given to us over, let's say you become a Christian today, for the next hours ahead, days ahead, weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead, the Holy Spirit will be working on your Christ-like development. The Holy Spirit will be perfecting us. That's the part that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. It is given to us, the Holy Spirit is given to us at baptism for our future growth, development, Christ-like nature, etc., understanding God's word. So the main function of the Holy Spirit in our lives is our forward going, our development. The purpose of baptism, that looks forward, it addresses all our past sin. And that is the Bible. When the Bible says, repent and be baptized for the remission or the removal of your sin. Which sin? Well, it couldn't be talking about the sins not yet committed. It's the sin that have already been committed throughout your life. Baptism. When you come from that watery grave of baptism, you come and in the sight of God, it is like you have never sinned. That's right. That's what baptism does. Brother Mitchell, you know me name, who said the water so powerful. I know the water do it. But it cannot be done without the water. In fact, I need to repeat that. It's not the water that removes the sin. But the sin will not be removed until you have obeyed Christ in baptism. Are we there? I want to deal with the chart, but time runs out. Very important. Time runs out. Very important that what the chart does is show the next week we look new life. Are being born. Over this side, your physical birth. And some of the factors that are involved. Over this side, you have spiritual birth. And the factors that are involved. When we pick up on this lesson next week, we want you as Christian to understand better. And we want the visitors that are among us are that we bring to understand that when you see some of what takes place and some of the factors that are involved in the biological, physical birth, it will help you to understand better how absolutely necessary baptism is. So we are inviting you to come back next week Sunday morning and study this lesson. I have some abbreviation here, EHS, WTR, WRD, and all these things there. Next week, I will interpret them for you. But today, suffice it to say that the new birth is absolutely necessary. No man can be, or woman can be, in a right relationship with God without the new birth. And if you don't get it. Go back and read the book of St. John chapter 3. In fact, you can read from verse 1 to verse 7. I had said from verse 3 to verse 7. But read it, and if you'd like to talk to us about becoming a Christian, you may want to become a Christian this morning. May I? Did you know that Jesus Christ is ready to forgive you for your sin right now if you will do what he says? That's right. Among the things that he said is that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So Jesus Christ is ready. And you know what? We are ready to sit and talk with you. Are you ready? That's the big question. But I encourage you, never think for a moment that you can stand as a cleansed man or woman, as a saved man or woman, having not done what Jesus Christ commanded. It must be done. And Christ said it. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We pick up on this lesson next week, God's willing. We are going to stand. The brother going to bring us a song that will be sung to the glory and honor of Christ's name.